Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to a special emergency episode of In the Know. I am on the road in a hotel in Atlanta. Mason has just gotten back from what are you getting back from, man?
Nothing.
I hear you're drunk.
Nothing important. Just didn't expect the trade to go down on a Saturday afternoon, so here we are.
I begged them to not do a trade this weekend because I'd be out of town. Come on, this is so inconsiderate of them. But holy crap, Anthony Davis is a Laker.
Yeah, it's a thing that I don't think either of us expected a few months back, but I think as time went on, it got more and more likely. And the crazy thing is we still don't know what the actual final version of this trade looks like. But I think all things considered, if we had expressed what this trade might look like back in January or February, and long story short is Zion Williamson is a part of it, no matter how you factor in that aspect. But I think we're all happy, right?
I mean, so, yeah, more on, like, the specifics of the trade in a little bit. But number one, on the surface, I think they got more than they did at the deadline, even if you take Zion Williams out of it. So they got Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, which is, okay, the Lakers kept Kyle Kuzma, good for them. And then they get the number four overall pick this year and two additional first-round picks. That's what was reported by Woj thus far.
That's the minimum, right?
That's the minimum, right? Which is insane. So first of all, since we do this every podcast, where were you when you heard about this? What were your thoughts, initial reactions? Give me a play about that.
Literally, yeah, that's fair. We jumped already, but I'm at a bar with friends. My girlfriend's sister's in town. We're just all like we're all having a good time, and just not. This is like the last thing I'm even thinking about. I don't even know what to say. Like, I don't think I expected this to happen on a Saturday afternoon just randomly. And I feel like we recorded our last podcast, and like I think we kind of came to the conclusion that like it's not going to happen this quickly. I don't know. I think we finally came to the conclusion that it was either going to happen in a few days or in a few weeks/months. And I don't think. I think we finally come to the realization that's like, no, it's not going to happen a day or two from now. There's no way that could possibly happen. And sure enough, that's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I said if it doesn't happen this weekend, it wouldn't happen until after July 1. But it happened this weekend because they wanted to throw us the most inconvenient time ever. I was – so I am in Atlanta at a Frisbee tournament with friends. I was – where was I? I was in the room. Yeah, I had just gotten back from a whole day's worth of playing in the room, get the Woj notification. I'm like, oh, my God, it finally happened. And literally I've been glued to my phone for the last few hours. We went out to a team dinner. And this was a really lit place. It was a Mexican restaurant. It was called Cozumel Cantina. And so in this cantina, it's a Mexican place, but they got a DJ. And he's playing hits from like 2007, 2008, like Soulja Boy, Roscoe Dash. Just, you know, I think you get the pictures. Just like hits after hits. What was another guy that I'm thinking of? Shoot, I don't know. But it was that whole like, Soulja Boy era. Oh, DJ Unk. I mean, like, this is, I'm talking throwbacks, which I don't know if you can count 2007, 2008 as a throwback, but the whole place was just popping. Anywho, there's no signal in the whole damn building because it's probably made out of metal or concrete. And I'm literally leaving in and out of the restaurant just to get the notifications, get the news, because I'm like, and this is not a humble brag, but there's like a million and a half people just like texting, like, what's going on? Like, do you like this trade? What's your opinion? No, I'm
like, completely on that. It's like I don't know, man. Like, I see what's on TV. I know exactly what you know. Stop texting me.
Yeah. So the whole situation's wild. Now, there was a Ramona Shelburne tweet that, and this was like, first of all, like, for the longest time, it was the only tweet about this out there. She said, the Pelicans did not want the Lakers' first round pick the next year, so 2020, but the Pelicans are essentially going to control the Lakers' draft for like the next 7 years. That's all she said, right? Which is kind of insane. But the implication there is pick swaps. So I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting.
It's and Celtics, part like 2.0. Like that's what the implication is.
The implication is the Lakers Billy King themselves. And so I had to ask around. I was like, what is going on here? Now, I can't share the details, but when you hear them, it's going to be freaking wild. It's literally Billy King 2.0. And the Lakers are essentially sending things out to the Pelicans out to almost 2025. Which is absurd, because how old will LeBron be at that time? I mean, AD is going to be on the wrong side of 30 by that time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading. I don't have any sources on this like you do, but I'm just reading like what Windhorse said and on ESPN, and just basically that it's. I mean, it's the Pelicans have control their picks the next 5 to 7 years, and like, there's more than just the draft picks that can't be said right now. And so, I mean, we're speaking of this trade, and I feel like, I mean, as much as you and I both were lamenting the Lakers package, and I'm sure like. You know, when it comes down to it, obviously neither of us are thrilled that the Lakers are the team that's getting AD and they're pairing AD and LeBron, just because we've heard a bunch of shit for so long about from these Lakers fans about how, like, you know, they're going to get Anthony Davis. And like, cool, you got him. Congratulations. But, I mean, it seems like we don't even know even close to what actually got traded. And the fact that this move happened before the draft and before free agency really makes me think that this is a Brooklyn Nets-esque type situation, even before you release whatever information you have that everyone else clearly wants right now.
There are hilarious little tidbits coming out, like the fact that Pelinka called Griff 4 times today, and Griff didn't pick up the phone until the 4th time. And I'm sure each time he's like, I gotta add another pick, maybe another swap. And I mean, there's a lot of speculation, and from what I hear, it's very much the case that Griff is not done dealing yet. I think Woj and I think Givony from the draft part of ESPN reported that the Pelicans are getting a lot of interest in the number 4 pick. And now, especially now that the trade has kind of like happened and teams know what's what, teams are calling. And I don't think the number 4 pick is the only thing the Pelicans are going to try to move around. I think they're going to try to move around any and everything they can to really just make this the best possible return.
Do we think Solomon Hill is going to be on this team in the next 12 hours?
Who knows? Honestly, I don't even care about that. What I really hope, if what I'm hearing about the pick swaps is true, I really hope we leave those untouched. I hope we do not send those out in another deal. I don't even want to put an unless on it. Don't touch that. That 2024, 2025 stuff, that in 2023 stuff that's out there, don't touch that.
Yeah.
My biggest demand out of an AD trade was one, obviously, a centerpiece, right? Which we don't know if there is a valid centerpiece yet because the deal isn't done. But the number four pick is fine. It's okay. But my second demand was long-term sustainability. How does this set you up for the future? And holy hell, did Griff set us up for the future.
Yeah. And so we're getting, not to interrupt you, but we're getting live. So I'm not watching TV, but I'm just looking at Twitter, and Woj is on ESPN right now. And so, first of all, apparently the Lakers over-under is up to 56.5, which I'm going to take the under on that big time. But I guess we don't know who the third all-star, so maybe we'll see. But Andrew Lopez Andrew Lopez is tweeting out what Woj is saying right now. And so apparently Pelicans are going to shop the number four pick and try to turn it into a quality starter that can plug into that lineup. And so who knows, though? But, like, we don't the craziest part about this is that, yeah, they're shopping the four pick, but what else are they shopping? We don't know all the picks and pick swaps that they have at their disposal to trade at this point. And I think that's probably part of whatever trade they're going to get. So I know your man Bradley Beal is still out there, and who knows if that could possibly come to New Orleans, but I guess we'll see.
I mean, can we talk about how at every step of the way, the Pelicans have made the Lakers look like complete asses. And at the end of the day, they've still bent them over and taken everything from them.
Come on, man.
And then my favorite part.
Yeah, come on.
What?
Can we? I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's almost like the AD trade just happened. The Pelicans just gave away. That's unfair. But the Pelicans just traded Anthony Davis, the team I think most people were hoping that he did not go to. But it's somehow it still feels like a win, and it's only been a couple hours since it happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's freaking wild. Like, I am still on the record low on those players. I don't care. The most appealing part about this deal to me is all those picks and swaps. The player is fine. If they turn out to be good, I'll be happy for them. Whatever. I don't care. Another interesting tidbit. Shortly after this went through, Mark Stein tweeted, the Celtics refuse to include Jason Tatum, which yeah. I will call bullshit on. That's not true. I'm telling you. That's not true. Second of all, it's a genius move by Danny Ainge in Boston to get that word out immediately, because it makes Tatum feel loved. Yep. And it lets him know that, hey, we did not trade you for Anthony Davis, even though Tatum was like, I would trade me for Anthony Davis. They did not trade him for Anthony Davis.
And it also makes New Orleans look great, because they're like, okay, Jason Tatum wasn't included. Yeah, whatever. If that word gets out and that gets confirmed, even if it's not true that he wasn't, and yet the Pelicans still got what they got from the Lakers, it looks like a fleecing.
Exactly. They're like, why would the Lakers give up that much if Jason Tatum wasn't included?
There you go.
I mean, I'm just like, I want to go back and retweet all the tweets. Like, oh, Lakers have all the leverage. Sure they do. Sure they do.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the surface, like, I'm disappointed that it's the Lakers because it's the Lakers.
Yeah.
But as far as a return goes, I mean, I cannot be disappointed with the return.
Yeah. I mean, I think that seems like the reasonable reaction. And I think we'll know a lot more in the next day or two about what exactly came through here. But it really does seem like the Pelicans have a fleecing, and like the baseline scenario, obviously, like we've already talked about before this trade even happened. It's the fact that they've got Zion. I mean, that even if the Pelicans had come out with less in this trade than they would have gotten in February, it doesn't matter, because the result of what happened was getting the most transcendent prospect since Anthony Davis. So who cares?
We haven't even talked about Zion yet, which is crazy. It's like, that's the smallest factor in all of this, which unbelievable. I don't – so with Lopez saying that they're going to try to shop the four pick for a solid starter, if it's not Bradley Beal, which I find it difficult. It is difficult to get Beal because Washington doesn't have a leader of their basketball operations. They fired Grunfeld. They've been doing God knows what for the last 3 months, 4 months. How long has that position been open, right? It's been open as long as Grunfeld had it, which is for eternity. And then they were right after the Raptors won the finals. I mean, seconds after. I mean, Masai is on the floor talking to, Adam Silver, just having slapped the cop, apparently. JK, he did not slap that cop. That's fake news. Don't believe that. But Masai is on the floor, and Woj tweets, yeah, the Wizards are pursuing him potentially for an offer as big as $10 million per year.
We've got something else, and again, I'm not watching TV, but I'm just reading people's tweets about the situation. So, this looks a little old, but it says Windhorst said on ESPN 710 that when the details come out, this Pelicans Lakers trade will be Nets Celtics trade part two, called it scandalous, and said it will affect the Lakers after LeBron is out of his prime and maybe out of the league.
I'm telling you guys, I don't have the liberty to share the details on this. You guys are going to go buck wild when you figure out the kind of protections and the kind of language that Griff put. There is some very interesting language that Griff put in one of the picks.
Inverse lottery protections, like that first, what was it, the Steven Adams trade? Is that what it was for Oklahoma City back in the day?
Yeah, the Steven Adams and
Lowry. Or what was it? I can't remember what it was. I think it was Lowry.
Oh, no, I thought you were making a joke for the Steven Adams trade, because it's actually the James Harden trade, but, you know, Steven Adams trade. Yay! Sorry, that would have been a really clever joke.
Damn it.
But, no, it's more than reverse protections. I believe there is some of that in there, where the Pelicans get the more favorable of the protections, and it goes out to the Lakers if it's a bad pick. But there is... there's a very interesting clause there for one of the late picks, the 2024-25 range. I'm going to leave it at that, but it is interesting. I've only seen one other example of this in the league before. So Griff and their staff got creative, and they're not done, which is like, holy crap. So I was going to ask you, like, the number four pick, let's going back to that, they were probably not going to get Beal, even though I can tell you that the Beal is Pelicans' target. Like, it has been for a while. It was when Dell was around. It is now. It looks like that's difficult. Who knows if they pull it off or not? Do you think there's any possibility they can get Miles Turner for four and some combination of other teams and players or whatever?
I did not know where that one was going, but I don't know, man. Like, I feel like the Pacers like their guys in Turner and Sabonis. So I know that they, you know, there's still the question that exists of whether or not those two guys can play together. And I would love Turner. I mean, as a Texas guy, I'm a big fan, but I don't know. I don't think that's the move. I think it all hinges on what exactly Griff got in that trade besides the four pick, how many different picks, and like, if he got enough of them and enough swaps, he may have absolutely no reservations in trading whatever he needs to get for your boy Bradley Beal, because there could be so many picks and pick swaps here that maybe that's a reasonable move. I don't know.
Dude, what if AD, like, what if the next season for the Lakers is a disaster and AD walks in free agency?
All right, I don't think, as vindictive as I am about this whole situation, I don't think that's going to happen. Like, I think AD is max Beal and be.
Dude, anything is possible. I trust in Griff. Griff is going to bring him back next year as a free agent.
That is like
what is the ultimate sabotage? AD demands a trade. He gets the Pelicans organization to fix everything from the top down, and then gets them an entire bucket full of assets, and Adam Silver rigs the lottery for us, because we're talking conspiracy theories, right? Now, in free agency, he's like, ha ha ha, my master plan has worked, and it's not, that's all, folks. We're just getting started, folks. And he comes back and the Pelicans win every championship.
I would not be, there's nothing that could shock me more than Anthony Davis ever coming back to New Orleans, or not ever, but coming back in any time before the expiration of whatever next contract he signs. That would be shocking to me. But I respect the conspiracy theory. I respect any sort of sabotaging theory that can come out of this. So I like it.
Cool. Very cool. Oh, my God. I'm just excited for the memes. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for the memes. I'm waiting for the reactions. I'm waiting for the details of this crap to come out. I don't know why the details haven't come out yet. My understanding is that the situation is probably very fluid, and now that this has gone through, there's probably a bunch of teams trying to jump in right now to make this a three-team trade. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but I can't wait. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, this is great. And I love that this is an emergency podcast, clearly, but I feel like this is, we're going to have a secondary emergency podcast once everything's like fully established on what the hell has happened and what the total return is. And so I don't know. It's going to be, it's one of those things where it's like, you didn't expect, based on what we've heard so far, I think we joked about a team potentially Billy Kinging themselves and the fact that the Lakers or Knicks both might do it. I don't think, I mean, for one, I didn't actually believe that would happen. And it sounds like that.
I thought it was a possibility. I thought the Knicks would do it, though. I thought the Knicks would
Yeah. I felt like the Knicks were more of a possibility than the Lakers in actually doing that to themselves. But it sounds like the Lakers may have actually done it to themselves. So we will see. And I don't know. I want to, like, every time we keep laughing about this, like, let's take a step back. Like, the Lakers just paired LeBron with Anthony Davis, and that's pretty awesome, especially considering what we talked about a few days ago, the fact that given the devastating injuries to both Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, this is a very wide open year in the NBA next year. And so the Lakers, I mean, the Lakers have Vegas odds reflect not just reality, but also who bets on those teams. And so the Lakers have gone from 4-1 to 7-2, and they're the leaders to win in Vegas to win the championship. I don't know if that's actually reality. It more so than it's just, there are a bunch of Lakers fans who want to bet on Lakers, but they're set up very well here. I mean, they've got Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and that looks good for them. As New Orleans fans, though, we're happy about what this brought in for AD, all things considered, especially with the market seeming to be a little bit depressed. And I don't know. I don't know, as a New Orleans fan, if you could be happier about what happened with this trade, given what it looked like, even as recently as a couple days ago.
Bro, it's been a few hours and I have not processed this. My teammates probably hate me.
Man, I mean, like, yeah. Like, did you ever, all right, let's just play it back a couple days ago. When the news about Roc Nation and Kyrie Irving came out and he was probably going to the Brooklyn Nets, did you think there was any way that this type of return was still on the table? Like, I don't know. I didn't. Did you?
Did I think there was a possibility that what was on the table?
That this type of return was on the table after
after
Kyrie signed with Roc Nation and seemed like he was going to Brooklyn.
I was in a little bit different perspective because I had been hearing the whole time that the Celtics were very much in it, very much interested. So I figured that if the Celtics were in it long enough, someone would blink first, and whoever would blink would end up probably giving up the farm. So I didn't think it was uncalled for or unpredictable, but I am shocked. I'm shocked that it's Billy King 2.0.
Yeah. So I think that's roughly where I am. It's like, I don't know. After the news broke about Kyrie, and even with, I mean, the thing was, like, the Celtics, yeah, you can sell me on the fact they were still interested in AD. I believe they were, but I knew they wouldn't put everything on the table like they were going to if Kyrie was sticking around in.
I cannot believe they used Kyle Kuzma to do this.
I can't believe that was actually real. I thought that was a joke, and sure enough, he's still in Los Angeles.
We don't want to give up Kyle Kuzma. Have all the picks.
We're going to have an opening day front court of AD, LeBron, and Kyle Kuzma. And
then they can get Kemba Walker. Go for it. It'll be a fine team with no shooters on it.
AD, enjoy LeBron teaching you how not to play defense during regular season. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I don't even care about their games right now. This is – okay, I don't know. I feel like I've had enough reactions. We could probably end this.
Yeah, I mean, I
come up with more cohesive stuff for the next one.
Seriously, we'll figure this out. We'll internalize what the actual total trade package was, and we'll come back to you guys with a more coherent and well thought out podcast next time around. But I hope you guys are enjoying the return of the initial returns of this trade as much as we are. We'll talk to y'all soon.
Let's go.